Hi, this is Jerry from SharePoint. This episode is part of a series where we check in with past guests to see how they're dealing with the COVID-19 situation. Because we're doing this remotely, there may be some technical glitches as we go along. We hope you'll bear with us as we're committed to bringing you new content for as long as we can. Once it's safe to get back out, we'll return to our regular format. Until then, thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to SharePoint, where we tap into the craft beer scene. I'm Jerry Holla, your host.
I'm talking with Drew Howard from Smoketown Brewing Station. Thanks for joining us on the show, Drew.
Glad to be here.
We originally had Jake on last November as our first guest under notably better circumstances. So appreciate you sitting in for him. And let's talk about what you guys are dealing with.
Sounds good.
Tell us how COVID-19 has affected your business.
So obviously our foot traffic is definitely taking a hit. We can't get people to sit down into the bar, and, you know, hang out and enjoy a Friday night or Saturday night. You know, we're not hosting concerts, every weekend, something we definitely miss. And I'm sure, a lot of our supporters do too. We do see a lot of traffic through, like pickups and deliveries and, support like that.
So you touched on it a little bit, but what kind of things are you doing, in order to, you know, kind of take up as much slack as you can for not being allowed to have people in the tap room? You guys doing curbside, pickup, delivery? I mean, everybody's got different options of things that work for them. And it might be different from, you know, the Creekside location in Frederick versus a Brunswick location. So kind of tell me what you guys are doing.
So we actually are using a service called Beer Me, which was made mm-hmm. by a gentleman from True Respite. Mm-hmm. And so that gives us the ability to do deliveries and contactless drop-offs to people who don't want to leave their house. So that service has definitely been a game changer. We were setting up our own like online form for delivery and pickup, but BeerMe has definitely been a game changer. It has everything that we would normally offer. It allows us to do customized items. So we've been doing a lot of bottles recently, and it's super easy just to add in a new product and keep track of our inventory and stuff like that. So yeah, it's been awesome.
In addition to canning, I believe, because when we talked with Jake back in November, he kind of showed this canning line that was in the front of the tap room, just kind of sitting out there roped off. So at least it seemed like you guys had canning already somewhere in the works before this happened. So maybe talk about how that's been able to help you guys.
Yeah, no, definitely having our own canning line has definitely been a plus because it allows us to, on top of our distribution in Frederick and Virginia, if we want to can something, if we're low on it, it gives us so much flexibility. Yeah.
So given what you guys are doing, and obviously the tap room is always the best option. We talk with a lot of people, and that's the best margin when you can pour somebody a pint right there. But what you're doing now with the delivery, the pickup, that stuff, do you think that's going to be enough to sustain you guys until the quarantine's lifted?
You know, it's definitely keeping the lights on. And we have a couple people back to work, which we're happy about. But in the long run, you know, it really is about getting people in seats and, you know, having them stay there and for a couple hours and hang out.
Have you guys talked about what other types of models or things you might possibly explore if this goes on longer?
There's a lot of things floating around right now, rumors amongst the industry where, you know, there might be an outdoor seating available. So basically, if you have access to a piece of land, you can move your taps outside and offer that environment to where people can go and drink outside. Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple ideas that we've thrown around. But if you look at other states, they're only allowing 25-50% capacity. So we're going to kind of have to take it day by day to see how the state decides to run things.
Well, tell people how they can help you.
Well, so you can order through BeerMe or call in and come pick it up. Beer Me is super easy. You can just pay online, and we'll have the order ready for you when you want to pick it up. And we also offer deliveries. So you don't even have to leave your couch. You can just order it on your phone, and we'll have it to your door same day.
What kind of area are you guys working with for delivery? What works for you guys?
So we are delivering to all of Frederick County. You can also find us in your local liquor store. We distribute to Frederick and Virginia. And we also distribute in Montgomery County. And if you don't see us on the shelves there, you can ask your liquor store to give us a call, and we'll have it there within the week.
Awesome. That's great. And how's that been going for you guys? Has distribution been, liquor stores been moving product fairly well, or do you see it moving out of your tap rooms a little bit easier?
The external distribution has definitely skyrocketed. We've been distributing for a while in Montgomery County and Frederick, and we weren't quite sure how it was going to play out. But yeah, our wholesalers keep calling us. We just actually got a huge order from our Virginia distributor to be at Costco. So that's a pretty big move for us.
Okay. Awesome. Great. Lots of places to be able to find Smoketown beer. That's always cool. So we've talked a little bit about it, but are there any other particular differences between what you're doing in Frederick versus what you're doing in Brunswick? Or are you more or less following the same model?
We're trying to keep things similar. You know, there shouldn't really be any reason why there is a beer that is in Brunswick that, we aren't serving in Frederick at this point. So all of our bottles, our bottle program is between the two places. So if there's a bottle available at Creekside, you can find it at Brunswick.
Great. Last November, Jake showed us the large area above the brewery in the Brunswick location, and said that the plan there was to turn it into event space. So has any progress been made towards finishing this project, or has this current situation made it more difficult to convert it?
Actually, funnily enough, David Blackman received the grant to fund the sprinkler system, and he actually has people up there probably every day of the week working on it. So there's definitely progress that has been made.
That's great, because maybe that becomes an opportunity with we talk about slowly putting people back in, creating more space. That place was really big, and maybe that allows something. Maybe allows some ways to social distance and still get some people in.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a beautiful space. As soon as you see this, it's one of the biggest spaces I've been in.
Well, like we got to see a little bit of it in November, but obviously at that point it was a lot more storage and things like that. So it'd be interesting to see kind of how the progress is, because it sounds like it's going to be a really neat space. And once people get back to being able to do what they're used to, a great community space, it could be used a lot of different ways.
Yeah, no, I mean, weddings, concerts, you name it. I mean, back in the day during railroad days, they would have that's where the focal point was. You know, you had the magicians, you had the bands, you had the train replicas, and the place can hold a couple hundred people pretty comfortably.
Mm-hmm. Talk about any new releases or anything like that you've got coming up. I know that some of the past brewers we've talked with, that's kind of how they've kept things going and kept repeat customers and drawing in new customers, is trying to throw out some new stuff every now and then. Do you guys have anything coming down the pipe? Or
yeah, so we actually just released our first sour from Creekside. It is a mango sour aged in a McClintock barrel. And honestly, I'm not usually one for sours, but this thing is delicious. And then we also have three ciders. We have a sweet cider, a pear apple cider, and then what we call the cran apple cider. And all those are available in bottles. So we've been probably releasing a new bottle every week. So there's always something coming down the pipeline. Though we have a another sour that's going to be coming out, and then we have an imperial porter that is aged in a Maker's Mark barrel. I'm not quite sure how long that's going to be in the barrel for, but then we have an Imperial Black IPA that's being aged in a rye whiskey barrel as well. And we've actually had that one before, and it was super popular. It just takes a long time to, to produce.
Well, that sounds great. Well, Drew, I want to thank you for your time. Please give Jake and Dave and everybody there at the Brunswick location my best. I hope you guys stay busy and healthy. And then I look forward to a time in the near future where you and I can actually meet in person and share a pint.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I'm joined now by Rob Neff from Checker Spot Brewing. Thanks for returning to the show, Rob.
Hey, Jerry. Thanks for having me back, man. It's good to see you.
You too. Well, we originally had you on this past February under notably better circumstances. So let's talk about what you're dealing with now. How has COVID-19 affected your business?
Yeah, well, we had to close our tap room and we had to cancel a bunch of events that we had booked through the next couple months. We haven't been booking new events. Obviously, we're looking into 2021 even, maybe for new events type thing. We've had some good support from our community because we were allowed to do carry out. So we've sold a billion crowlers, you know, some t-shirts, we're moving through some beer. And they also allowed us to deliver beer directly, which was not legal before all of this. Some help from some friends, we set up our website with a shopping cart and we really tweaked that. I'm going to say thanks to my friends, Kevin and Corey, who really know their stuff when it comes to, you know, that type of thing. So we got that set up in like a week and that was really helpful. And our POS has been very responsive to all of this too. So they were able to sync with our website and it's gone for the past couple of weeks. It's been fairly smooth with deliveries to customers and takeout. And I guess the main news is we got a canning machine about a month ago. And that's something that's amazing. Judy's brewing more. We're going to get this thing probably we're looking late year, I would say, to get a canner. That was always part of the business model. And with this, we saw that liquor stores and packaged goods were flying off the shelves and we sort of pivoted. That was our big pivot, was to research the canners and choose one. And we were lucky we got it in a few weeks. They had one, you know, ready for us essentially. So, and it's works great. We've done 7 runs in 3 weeks, I believe, 7 beers. And it sells like hotcakes. It's like we have it for a week and it's gone, which is great. We sell them in-house and delivering around Baltimore, Harford County, Baltimore County, Northern Anne Arundel. We're down in Howard County and Montgomery County now, even with our cans.
Wow.
Which is crazy. So we're pretty busy, even though everything's changed. We're, you know, staying safe with deliveries and having our customers come in. We, you know, require masks and everything. And yeah, everyone is pretty cool. The dude's been making some new beers coming out. So we're still releasing stuff and then people gobble them up. It's great.
Well, that's good. I definitely knew that we had talked about, you know, the canning was something down the road, but canning's kind of become a necessity given the situation with everyone. So it's good to hear that you guys were able to make that transition a lot faster than maybe it could have been. Were there any things once you kind of did that popped up that you were like, oh, we hadn't thought about this, or oh, this is interesting that we had to deal with for canning?
Yeah, like the crowlers were. We saw this early on because the first maybe week we were open with limited, we adjusted our hours and then we're just doing like carry out stuff and some delivery. We saw that we were flying through crowlers. So we luckily ordered them right away and we got a pallet and we haven't been out of them. Whereas like the used to be maybe 2 or 3 weeks and now it's 4 to 5 weeks to get a pallet of crowlers. And there were 2 weekends where we reached out to our friend. We ran out of cans, essentially. So we reached out to our friends at Heavy Seas and at Dewclaw. We went up and borrowed or traded or purchased 200 more. And that got us through the weekend. And then we got our delivery on Monday. So once again, the beer community in Maryland is just fantastic for that type of thing.
We've always talked about before this type of a crisis, how much the beer community looks after each other. But it's great to see that
everybody's kind of really pulling together to help each other out now.
Yeah, for real. And we've, some other breweries have contacted us for cans to get them through a weekend. And we ordered a bunch and we got two pallets sitting there so we can help our friends out. And also have, we have more on order. It's crazy going through 2,400 crowlers in like 3 to 4 weeks, where it used to take us maybe 4 to 6 months to do that many crowlers in-house, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only way we can get our beer out is a crowler. We're not doing growlers just with COVID. We don't want people bringing in their own glass. We're doing a trade. If somebody has a growler, they can trade us for one of ours that we've sanitized and we'll put the beer in that. But the cans have been great.
So, yeah, that was one of the things when we talked with Keith at Wardaka. Keith was like, it's all aluminum now.
Yeah, for real. And we're lucky because the 16-ounce cans are not as scarce, let's say. So we set up those every 2 weeks. We'll get pallets of those for like the next couple months because we're, as far as our canning goes, we're planning on doing 2 can releases every 2 weeks. It's a lot. And you look into our cooler after a week of can runs and it's packed to the brim with these wonderful looking cans. And it's a different animal delivering to retail and packaged goods stores. I've been really enjoying that. A little lighter than kegs, I guess. And you don't normally have to go into a basement with cans, where a lot of like Baltimore bars, it's down the hatch and you're carrying these half kegs and sixfuls downstairs and it's heavy.
Yeah. Well, you guys, when we were there before, we talked about, you know, what a big freezer spaces you had. And I know we just recently talked with Ty at Asteria, and that's one of the problems that they're running into is that they don't have that type of cold storage. And, you know, his conversation was, you know, we've only ordered so much packaging. And when we don't have enough packaging, he said, we've either got to push stuff back into the bright tank and let it sit. And then we can't brew because we're using our tanks for that. And then kick it back out when you've got packaging. He said, well, then you package. And if it's not moving out right away, you've got to try to figure out how to keep it cold. So they were kind of running into that situation of, you know, we don't really have enough cold storage. We're trying to figure out how to do everything. And I know that's definitely a benefit for you guys because you said your storage was pretty good size. So
it's pretty decent. We could always use some more. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, when we go over to our friends at Key Brewing, mm-hmm. They're cold storage. You can drive the forklift in. It's like 1 million square feet. That would be great. Ours, we can get a fair amount in, but it's still, we need more someday, but we make it work. You know, it's just like everything, we make it work. And as far as our tank space, Judy and Ian and Ryan really have worked on the schedule to keep like all the cooperage full, and there will be no fermenter empty for more than a day type thing. Cause we'll empty like a uni tank out, can it, and then we'll put like the next day she'll brew and put it in that empty, you know, clean the tank and then put it in the empty tank. And there's not much empty tanks in our place. We're selling a lot. It's, the cans have been great. You know, it's something we were wanted to move into, and it's been great. We're getting a good response from, you know, people that might not have known our stuff at a bar or come to our tap room, but buy packaged goods. And like our labels are great, if I do say so myself. A really good friend, Adam, does, you've seen his artwork on our posters for our beers and stuff. And he's really moved into doing the labels really well. Like he did some research and we went to beer stores to see what good label would do. And he's been really, really good at it. We've gotten good responses about the look of our package.
Yeah, it's good. It's important for it to help jump out, you know, since so many people are shopping. Like you said, that way now at liquor stores and things, if you get your package to jump out off the shelf, that always helps.
Yeah. And it's a sort of a different customer too. A lot of customers at the package store, they'll want something new every time. So we're brewing a lot of NIPAs. We did a kettle sour. We put out our Locally Delicious with berries. We did our Pilsner, but it's all about, you know, all about the NIPAs.
Interesting. You mentioned that Locally Sour because I've chatted with you. I'm unfortunately a little too far away to get down, but my good buddy Joe, give him a shout out. He's been by to see you a number of times, and we got together for a socially distant parking lot exchange, wearing masks and staying apart and going, I have some for you and you have some for me. And he dropped off a crowler of Got Wood and had some canned from the Locally Delicious from the sour. And so Joe's trying to keep me connected to you guys. And so shout out to him for doing what he can for you guys and helping me out too.
Joe's a great dude. I miss seeing him at the bar. You know, he would come in I would bartend Wednesday nights. He would come in.
Well, he worked downtown there after work, swing by, and Wednesdays were good nights for him, and he knew you were there, so it kind of really worked out.
Yeah, good dude.
So given what you've been doing, do you think that this is going to be enough to sustain you guys until the quarantine's lifted?
I think we'll be able to keep the business's head above water. It's tough. I mean, one of the main things with this whole pivot thing is we wanted our employees to be taken care of. So we really concentrated on, you know, getting the PPP loan from the national one and some of the business loans we were able to get, which it was just this crazy application process. And we really had a focus on keeping our, you know, it's such a tough thing for everybody, but we wanted to keep everyone, like all our three full-time employees, we were able to keep them busy. And it was a big question the first couple of weeks, and it's super stressful. Like, is our business going to fail? What's going to happen? No one knew, but we were able to stay open 12 to 7 every day. And we gave, you know, there's a shift a day, and sort of our bartenders that were taking more shifts or more less part-time, I guess, maybe not the person who's working once a month, but the guys and the women that are working a couple times a week, we were able to divvy those shifts up, and that's been very good. And customers have been tipping very well. I mean, that's sort of a thing. It's great. They're making a lot of money on tips and everything. And we're just proud of that. We were able to keep everybody going as best we could with everything else that is going on, you know. So that was one of the main things. Our main sort of focus was keeping the business afloat, but, you know, trying not to lose anyone or otherwise sort of keep the ship sailing forward, but with everybody on board, you know.
Yeah, no, and like you said, it's been a priority for a lot of people, but not necessarily something everybody's been able to pull off. So it's good to hear that you were able to kind of make some of those changes and do that. So let's make sure we can tell people how they can help you out. Let us know how they can get your beer and what they can do to help.
Yeah, thanks, Jerry. You can obviously come in and see us. We do pre-order online at our website, checkerspotbrewing.com. And you can go to our shop section. And this is where our friends Corey and Kevin have really worked really hard. It's very straightforward. There's a ton of stuff on there. We opened up a bunch of taps. We got another tower that we put on, like, our short draw. So we have 17 products now.
Wow.
In draft and crowler. And also any of our cans will have them available too. And we're even doing food. We're still doing, like, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Chef Trevor and my partner Steve are putting together these really, like, one weekend they did quesadillas. They smoked a pig last weekend and did like a pork platter with, they're just doing really, really cool things. And you can order some food, like he's making ice cream that wow. You can come in and get. It's pretty cool. And Steve's world famous beef jerky is available for delivery.
Nice.
Most stuff through our website. And then we are at so many stores, package stores around Baltimore now. And even in the region, we have like a list on our Facebook that we're trying to keep updated. Can't guarantee the beer will be there because it sells really quick. Places buy one or two cases of a product and they call me a week later and say, we need more, but we don't have more. So that's sort of the main way to get our stuff and support us. And we can't wait to open back up whenever that becomes clear with social distancing and everything, and just make our place safe for people. And yeah, just keep brewing. Like, we're brewing more than we were before, which is sort of weird, but it's great. So I'm saying all the tanks are full.
Yeah. Well, like you said, if you know, people keep helping it fly off the shelves, then that helps keep you guys busy. And so it's good to hear that that kind of support's out there. Now, through your site where you're talking about ordering beer and ordering food, I'm guessing there's also the ability to tip, take care of gratuity, do merchandise, gift cards, those things as well?
Yep, for sure. You can use your credit card, you can tip. There is a $2 delivery fee if you get delivery, but that goes right to gas. And it's sort of, we're trying to do like a contactless transaction. When you come in, the bartender will have your order. He'll grab it, put it on the bar, and you grab it and you roll out. It's pretty quick. And if you're not comfortable coming in to the shop, you can give us a call and just stay in your car and we'll bring it out. That's no problem at all. I mean, totally understand. Crazy world right now.
Absolutely. Well, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but, you know, when we visited with you before, we got to see what a really nice space, especially upstairs, the event space is. And you've talked about some of the events that you weren't able to hold. And I know that we had talked that your second anniversary is due to come up pretty rapidly, the end of June, you mentioned on the 30th. So is that something that you've kind of had to rethink, or you're retooling, pushing back? I mean, how are you handling that?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jerry. Yeah, we were right before everything hit, we were planning our 2-year anniversary, and that we were going to have, you know, bands, a big stage. We were going to blow it up best we could. And we were going to do it sort of earlier in June with keep less. It was so hot last year. We do these things in the summer and it's crazy hot. So we were going to move it forward. So that's right when we were like booking, and we had some cool things lined up, and hopefully we can maybe at our 3rd year anniversary, sort of, you know, triple it or something, I guess, and make up for this year. Don't know what we're going to do this year. It might be like a video thing, or it's just going to be, let's raise a beer and we made it another year. You know, it can't have people in. It's, don't know, maybe do a Facebook Live thing, or I think that's still up in there. We could, and now we can do it at the end of the month because it's, you know, we'll be inside.
Yeah, well, that virtual way. We talked with Ty just recently at Asteria, and we were talking about the sofa sipping. And so, you know, that one, I noticed that, you know, Judy presented on a topic, and then Steve presented on a topic. I mean, so you guys really had a nice presence at that event. And, you know, given what it was, I thought they did a great job of putting together a really nice event.
Yeah.
Considering everybody had to kind of watch from home, and they had really nice music and had it organized pretty well. But I mean, you guys really had a nice presence with that.
Yeah, thanks. We love BAM. They work so hard. That's our Brewers Lobby, if your viewers don't know. Mm-hmm. They've changed laws. They're very active through COVID, and every change that comes from the governor, they have like a Zoom meeting or a big phone call, and they have their lawyers and their experts sort of explain what's happening, give us tips on how to survive. And BAM wasn't able to do their beer festival up in Frederick. It's the yearly one. I think it's in May. Anyway, they weren't able to do that. And that's like their one of their biggest fundraisers of the year. Like 40% of their operating costs come from that event. So it's, they're struggling, and it's, everyone's sort of getting through, you know. But we love BAM and everything they do for us and every brewery in Maryland. They're really, they fight the fight or stuff so we can just make beer, you know. They do all the stuff in Annapolis.
Well, that's important. So, but yeah. You talked about the fact you guys are brewing all the time and stuff is flying off the shelf. So maybe talk about some of the things you have coming up, new releases or things you're excited about that are happening soon.
Yeah. Name of the game in cans right now is NIPAs. So we have the 5 that we've done for, you know, a couple years now. So we're putting those in cans. We've came up with 2 more that have been brewed and are fermenting. Another IPA. We're having our, I'm not sure if you remember Right Side of the Tracks and Wrong Side of the Tracks from about a year and a half ago. Yeah. That's back when we had the mobile canner come in. Mm-hmm. And they did a good job putting our beer in cans. And so we're brewing that one. I think that's been brewed. And I think that's a late June thing. So that'll be a double release. That'll be pretty cool. Last year, our Locally Delicious with Stone Fruit won the BAM medals. I don't recall what that's called. But yeah, we got a gold medal for that.
That was a good one. That Stone Fruit was actually the one I was drinking when we visited before.
Yeah. So we're making that again. Like Steve wrangled up all the peaches and all the other, just sort of a wizard at gathering all the fruit. We talked about it. Processing that stuff is, it's a lot to mm-hmm. get the juice, only the juice. That's all you want. We got some more barrels that we're going to put some beer in. Like we got one from Rob Goss at Whitey's the other day. Mm-hmm. Forget what kind of barrel it is, but a bourbon barrel. So we'll age some stuff. We got the Jean Quad coming back. That was a big time favorite. And we've been aging a bunch of that in a big barrel for probably 4 months now. And that'll keep aging. Like we just released our Golden Strongman that was aged in it's a Belgian Golden Strong aged in a Buffalo Trace barrel, and we bottled it, put it in a bomber. Just stuff like that, trying to, we did this historical recipe with Maureen O'Pre. Mm-hmm. She's the beer historian, writer, all around great person. She dug up this old sort of recipe that it's from a long time ago, and we did our best to like make it on small batch. It's really odd, and we're aging that in a rum barrel that we got from Lime Distilling over here near our house over here in East Baltimore. So that's going to age for like 2 years. You just sort of set it and forget it. So stuff like that. We're brewing a lot of the Nipahs just because that's what the market demands, really. But she has some other stuff she's working on. We're doing some pilot batches, like some single hop, some smashes, and just trying to keep experimenting, you know. Like today, Judy's on her way to Cambridge to pick up more crab shells she's brewing a batch of Keeper.
Keeper Stout, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. And it's pretty cool. We hadn't seen J.M. Clayton since last year, and we were able to take them some crowlers because originally our Keeper Stout was nitro only, but we carbonated it a bunch of kegs, and probably how we're going to do maybe going forward is have it carbonated. It's so good. It's still got that creaminess, but she took a couple crowlers to them this time, which they'll be excited about that. So just stuff like that, keeping her busy. I'm sure, like I said, she has a list of stuff they want to try, and she's a master at doing the schedule and all that. So she has stuff planned out. I think she said through the end of July, and that's crazy. It's like, I barely know what I'm doing after the meeting here.
I'm sure it involves a lot of delivering and, like you said, dropping things off that aren't as heavy as they used to be. So that's good.
Yeah. And I'm just doing it in my truck and I'm getting help from Steve, my partner, and our saleswoman, Amethyst, who is a bartender for us and also does some events and has really stepped it up doing some sales, doing a really good job. She took a whole bunch of deliveries on Friday last week. I think we moved like 80 cases Friday. Wow. And that's a lot. Like in my truck, filled up in the back, you know, we self-distribute. So and in the bed, I think I had like 50 or 60, something like that. And keeping a tarp over them, and it's raining down in Montgomery County, you know, and it worked out fine. And I like doing it, but I got a tonneau cover for my truck bed, so I can just, when it's raining, pull the thing over and try to, you know, so the cardboard doesn't get all gross.
Yeah,
we're definitely busy. At those first couple of weeks, Jerry was the almost as stressful, if not more stressful, than like opening the business, because it happened pretty quick with everything that sort of was the cascade of all the events canceling, and like March Madness canceled, and that was it. Huge one for us, because we had there was a group that came in and sort of bought us out for that Thursday, the first Thursday of when there's a million games, and that was a tough one, but we're getting through it. We're staying positive, and the bottom line is, you know, public health is paramount, and we will survive. I'll answer your question from a little bit ago. We will survive, and when we come out in tap room, it's going to be slow. We're all sort of expecting it. That's going to be slow probably through summer, fall, winter, maybe next spring even. Well, finally, more people will be coming back. But the canner revenue stream has been, it's great. You know, we're doing okay with that. So it's when tap room and events come back, we'll be, you know, firing on all cylinders again.
And that's good. That's what I've kind of noticed as some brewers have talked about, you know, be adapting, is that what positives can you take out of the situation? And, you know, a lot of people are like, hey, you know, the pickup and curbside stuff that we're doing now, the things that they weren't doing before, I said, you know, unless the laws change, and hopefully they don't, because people see that it works, particularly with the delivery aspect, you know, hopefully that's something that can help in that transition for you guys to be able to, I mean, like you said, when we get started and they say, hey, people can come back, there's going to be a while before people have a comfort level. So needing something like, you know, still being able to deliver and have people pick up, maybe helps keep you guys going until the tap rooms pick up, which is where a lot of people make their money.
I think you're right. Yeah. When stuff comes back or whatever, the carry out will still do that. And I think that's going to stay strong. The customer delivery, before this, that was illegal. And I don't know. I think Franco's pushing for that to stay legal, which would be great. I mean, it'd get beer delivered. but we want to do it in a way that's, you know, safe. We want to be fair to retailers, and yeah, so it's just a lot of changes. And I mean, that's entrepreneuring, right? You roll with the punches, and we have a great team. I mean, Judy and Steve are just great partners, and they, we all have our roles, and we're good at it. I don't know. It's going good. Our bartenders and our cellar men and our chef, they're just, everyone's very excited, and that, I mean, we're very excited, and that I think rubs off on everybody. And the bottom line, Jerry, is the beer is really good.
So absolutely.
That helps.
Yep. That definitely does.
Yeah.
Well, Rob, I want to thank you for your time. I hope that you and Steve and Judy and your whole crew down there at Checker Spot stay healthy and busy. And then I look forward to a time in the near future when you and I can share a pint again in person.
Yeah, Jerry, I appreciate that. It was nice talking with you, and I appreciate your support of the local guys and doing stuff like this. And it's good to catch up. I look forward to seeing you face-to-face and having a pint at our tap.
Absolutely. Room. Sounds great. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Jerry.
Now more than ever, it's important for you to drink and support local. Buy beer, merchandise, gift cards, even just tips that can be given to workers to help them get through. If we all do our small part, we can get through this, and our favorite breweries will be waiting for us on the other side, where we'll be able to share a pint in person. Until then, thanks for listening.
Share a Pint is released bi-weekly on Friday mornings and can be found at shareapintpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at share_pint. Show notes for this episode are available at shareapintpodcast.com. Music for the show, Groundwork, provided by Kevin MacLeod, and can be found online at incompetech.com. Share a Pint is made possible by help from the Community Media Center of Carroll County. Associated with the craft beer industry and have an interesting story you'd like to share on a future episode? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at shareapintpodcast.com or email us at jerry@shareapintpodcast.com. Until the next time we share a pint, I'm Jerry Hulla. Prost.